Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for your word, the word of truth. We thank you that by the effectual working of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that we can go into your word and that we can understand it and we can be enlightened and we can be encouraged and we can be edified as saints in the body of Christ. And Lord, we pray right now, if there's someone listening, Lord Jesus, we pray right now that they hear the salvation, the gospel of their salvation, and that is that Jesus Christ died, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. Lord, if they believe that, if they put their faith in the finished work of Calvary's cross, they have been saved from the penalty of sin. For the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My brothers and sisters, tonight we're going to get right into our lesson. We've been referencing Scripture, 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5, when Paul said this, note also that in the last days perilous times should come, for men should be lovers of self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient of parents, unthankful, unholy. And if you read all those other characteristics of what's going to be the last days in the dispensation of grace. And then we've been talking about the importance of children obeying their parents and children being brought up in the nurture, my brothers and sisters, and admonition of the Lord and how important that is, my brothers and sisters. For children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Ephesians 6, if you read that 1 through 4, those are some of the scriptures we would be referencing. But tonight we're going to get into the importance of heeding God's warning in his word. And we have perilous times that's going on, my brothers and sisters, and those scriptures we just referenced. And then I want to reference Colossians 3, 15 through 17. And it says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also ye are called in one body. Be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. For our learning tonight, Deuteronomy 11, 19 through 23 says, and ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thy house and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied, the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. For if ye shall diligently keep all commandments which I command you to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways and to cleave unto him. Then will the Lord drive out all these nations from before you, and you shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourself. My brothers and sisters, it is not exactly news that our society is becoming increasingly wicked. Ungodly actions that used to bring shame in our society are now openly celebrated and flaunted in front of even young children. But we must not think that our experience is unique. There have been many times throughout history when evil ran rampant. As the Israelites first faced their entry into Canaan, they were going to a place where they would be surrounded by idolatry and immorality. Their children would need a strong foundation of faith if they were to follow God. The solution for families in a wicked world is to make the home a place of instruction in what God teaches. And that means just like the Apostle Paul said, bringing our children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It is easy to criticize the world for being hostile to God, but we must not neglect our responsibility to pass on our faith in God's word and what God expects from us as ambassadors for Christ to the next generation. Many times we are labeled judgmental or we're being too hard on Christians when all we're doing is sharing what God's Word says. God's Word tells us to study in 2 Timothy 2:15. Many Christians like to point their fingers and blame the actions of some of the laws of the land about no Bible reading and no prayer in the schools. I mean, you got saints and believers that get really upset when the truth is that many Christians, they do not have Bible reading and prayer in their own homes. My brothers and sisters, we have free will. There is no law to prevent us from praying and studying the Word of Truth right divided with our children and families. There is no law to prevent us from reading the Bible in our homes and teaching our children the Bible. And it is a poor kind of escapism to blame the laws of the land and the court system for forbidding Bible teaching in the schools when many believers do not sincerely care enough about it to have it in their own homes. Uh-oh, you're being judgmental again, preacher. Watch out. You're too hard on them tonight. You're too hard on them. It's amazing how we have so much time for so many things and can spend numerous hours with them, but when it comes to God's Word, we seem to not have an interest in God's Word. I better stop because someone may say you're being too judgmental again, preacher, or you're being too hard on them. God's Word is the truth, and the truth will set you free if you believe it. Satan wouldn't mind schools teaching the Bible and having prayer because he knows that if the Word of God was being taught in the school system, it wouldn't be rightly divided, and the mystery and the dispensation of grace wouldn't be being taught. Prayer and singing in the schools would not be what Apostle Paul told us, and that is to pray and sing with understanding. Satan would welcome more confusion from the Word of God in the school system. The majority of believers in the body of Christ, they are caught up in the wrong program in the Bible, and that's the kingdom program to the nation of Israel for the earth. That program is not what God is doing today. The world and the school system tell us to pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. My brothers and sisters, we are ambassadors for Christ. Jesus Christ is our commander in chief. We follow his commands and instructions through the Word of God, rightly divided. We just read Colossians 3:15 through 17, and it says, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now you see, that's plain and simple. Whatever ye do in word or deed, you do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And that goes for wherever you go, whether you're on vacation, whether you're going out of town, whether you're going to visit family, whether you're going to visit friends, it doesn't matter. Wherever you go, whatever you do, it says do in word, whatever you do in word or deed, you do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, last week we talked about the joy of honoring our parents. But Apostle Paul gave us a warning that something is coming regarding our children. We should also remember that if it's not going to edify, we shouldn't say it. Godly wisdom will let you know when to speak and to not speak. Sometimes we speak out of the flesh and cause great harm. Godly wisdom would help us to keep the horse in front of the cart. In other words, doing things the right way and in a way that pleases God. Now, Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy 3:2, talking about these perilous times, he's describing a time of danger, evil, and hatred in the dispensation of grace. What's a warning? A warning is a statement or event that indicates a possible or pending danger, problem, or other unpleasant situation. It is an advance notice of something. Apostle Paul gave many warnings to believers in the body of Christ. He warned the Galatian saints about mixing law with grace. He says in Galatians 1, 6-7, I marvel that you are so removed from him that call you into the grace of Christ into another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel. They were so soon removed from Paul that called them into the grace of Christ. And Paul asked in chapter 4, verse 21, tell me, you desire to be under the law? Do not hear the law. The Galatians desired to be under the law. They preferred works religion to the grace of God. The Galatians were like a soldier not following out with his marching orders from his commanding chief. The Galatians had embraced another gospel. They had left God's grace, Paul's gospel in ministry, and returned to works religion, the Mosaic law, a system that was weak and beggarly. Because it was weak through the flesh, Romans 8:3. However, the false teachers who had misled them were very sneaky. And that's what we have to be careful with today. There are warnings. The preachers of this false gospel sounded very much like the Apostle Paul. Satan and his counterfeit system did not approach the Galatians with a message that was 100% lies. My brothers and sisters, Satan planted seeds of truth in this false gospel. Those false teachers had taken a pure gospel message and perverted it, still calling it the same name, gospel, so it appeared genuine. And again, notice, Paul said, I marvel that you are so removed from him that call you into the grace unto another gospel. And Paul is saying, if he, right now, through the word of God, he said, I marvel, saints in the body of Christ, how you are so removed, soon removed from the warnings that I've given in the word of God about what's going to take place in the last days in the dispensation of grace. Have you read it? Do you know about it? Paul had to deal with people mixing law and grace in his ministry, and this is ongoing even today. Now, Paul warned against idleness and freeloaders in 2 Thessalonians 3, which we talked about. He warned saints will not endure sound doctrine and will turn their ears away from the truth in 2 Timothy 4. And then in 1 John 2:15 through 17, that warns us about the love of the world. It tells us to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So what are we doing as parents, preachers, teachers, and ambassadors for Christ in preparing our children to live in this world? Many parents are trying to find that space between letting them, I'm talking about children, be hopeless, naive, so someday they come out from under their care and they know nothing about the way the world works. Or many are raising them, their children, to be so worldly that they're really attracted already to the world. They already know the world because they are already of the world. We've seen kids who have been completely naive about the way the world works. And then that time comes when they do leave their parents' care. Many go off to college, or they just grow older and move out on their own. And there's this temptation to go completely hog wild. Why? Because they haven't seen the world and all that it has to offer, and many haven't been warned about the dangers of what's out there in the world. They haven't seen that the allure of the world never matches what it actually delivers. The world's sin always overpromise and underdeliver. They have seen this, and so they dive right into the love of this world. But then on the other side, I think we all seen children who have been so exposed to the world that they are already ready for the world and all it has to offer, because that's what all they got when they was growing up, was the world. By the time they come out from their parents' care, they're not really interested in the things of Christ, because the world has been so much a part of their upbringing that they're already full of immersion in it. So as parents, that's our challenge, my brothers and sisters. That's our challenge, right? To navigate that space, to raise our children, to be in but not of the world. That's a tough, tough calling. So how do you raise your children to be aware of the lure of the world, and but then also aware that the world doesn't deliver what it promised? That true joy, true hope, and that true meaningful life is found in Christ, in being in but not of the world. And we'll talk more about this in a minute. But Apostle Paul let us know what loving this present evil world will do. 2 Timothy 4:10 lets us see what happens when we do not endure sound doctrine and when we turn our ears away from the truth. 2 Timothy 4:10, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed in Thessalonica. My brothers and sisters, the world and the things in the world which John warned is not to love are the invisible spiritual systems of evil, and they belong to Satan, the god of this world. It is the world system, the course of this world, governed by Satan, my brothers and sisters, that Paul highlights in Ephesians 2:2-3, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we also had our conversation, my brothers and sisters, in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath. Even as the Apostle Paul warned, he warned the Corinthians of their careless and shameful lifestyle and behavior, divisions and quarrels among the Corinthians. If you read 1 Corinthians 1:11-13, in chapter 3:4-6, then the fixation of human wisdom and philosophy with the Corinthians, a believer having sexual relations with his father's wife, sadly the church was commending his behavior and not reproving it. And if we listen to what Paul is saying, we see what's going on, just like what was going on in the Corinthian church. It's going on in the body of Christ. We see behavior, but we're not reproving it. We're not trying to correct it through the word of God. We see what children are doing. We're not reproving it. We're not trying to correct it through the word of God. We're hoping that someone else will correct it. We hope that someone else will check the situation. Paul warns the believers of those who would depart from sound doctrine of the faith in latter time, saying, from such people turn away, 2 Timothy 3:5. I personally believe we live in those latter times, last days in the dispensation of grace. And in 2 Timothy 3:2, Apostle Paul is giving the body of Christ that advance notice of impending danger in the dispensation of grace regarding disobedience to parents. This young generation not only needs the gospel of the grace of God, but they need and should have a desire to walk in God's word daily. Life is filled with warnings. Warnings are given that we may avoid disaster. We are warned against bad choices and their bad consequences. We either heed the warning or ignore it. Warnings are given in advance of our meeting the bad consequences from bad choices in order to give us a chance to change our choices and avoid the bad consequences, experiences, and good consequences. Things that are bad for our health have warning labels on them. But that doesn't stop people from consuming them. Highway signs warn of danger ahead and advise us to slow down. These warnings are ignored by many as well. Apostle Paul is saying to believers, we have work to do in these last days in the dispensation of grace. He's already told you they're going to start turning their ears away from the truth unto fables, storytelling. They're not going to want to endure sound doctrine. He said, I'm trying to tell you what it's going to look like, so you ought to be prepared. My brothers and sisters, Paul said we got work to do. Not only are we looking at a society that would be disobedient to their parents, but we'll be looking at a world with believers in it who would turn their ears away from the truth, God's word. Not heeding God's warning in his word is allowing yourself to walk around functionally dead. You can hear and read sound doctrine and write the vision day in and day out, but it will do you no good if you do not place your faith in it. If we do not let the Holy Spirit perform His work in us to transform our inner man with sound doctrine, we default to living in the flesh, the natural sinful habits we have inherited from Adam, my brothers and sisters. This is what the Bible calls quenching and hindering the Holy Spirit in 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Apostle Paul is saying, get off the couches. Get off the chairs. Turn that television off. Stay out of those shopping malls so much and stop chasing down all those temporary things in life and get in the book, the Holy Bible, and study it and study some more God's way rightly divided and begin to get out and call and share the gospel of the grace of God and pray, my brothers and sisters, you share the gospel of the grace of God with the lost. And start encouraging those who have no desire to study God's word and pray for them to have a desire to want to study His word and study His word, His way, right and divided. A warning is an act of mercy shown by someone who doesn't want to see us experience the sufferings that is certain to be brought on by our choices. A warning is a great arresting statement of God inspired by His love and patience. God warns us and contains the warnings in Scripture. And Paul said we have the written word of God and warns that we should not, my brothers and sisters, honor the traditions of men in its place. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after tradition of men. Colossians 2:8. Jesus himself warned the religious Pharisees of their traditions that negate the word of God, the word of God. Making the word of God of none effect through your traditions. Mark 7:13. Apostle Paul is warning believers in the body of Christ to take your position as an ambassador for Christ very serious. My brothers and sisters, I've learned, just like many of you listening, that medicine would help this physical body that's perishing and going back to the dust, provided we use the medicine as prescribed by our physicians or pharmacy. Likewise, the Bible will benefit our inner man, provided we use God's book as He intended it. False teaching, especially the non-rightly divided word of God, will trouble many Christians. It will disrupt their edification, their spiritual growth, and disturb them. 2 Thessalonians 2:2. Their souls, heart, and mind will be poisoned. Doubt will enter in, and the adversary will greatly use that to his advantage. Just look at the complete spiritual impotency of the professing church today. Paul warning of the danger of disobedience to parents, towards parents, is a serious issue that Paul stated along many other characteristics during perilous times, dangers in the last days and the dispensation of grace. One of the most quoted and often misquoted verses in the Bible, Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. People often use this verse as a guarantee that if you raise your children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, Ephesians 6:4, they'll always stay on the right path. That interpretation can be problematic, particularly for the godly parents I know who have seen their older children stray from the faith. We all know that we can try our best, and sometimes the results are different than we would have hoped. God has given us free will to make our own choices after all. Remember, we all have free will. Is Proverbs 22:6 a guarantee of success for committed Christ-following parents that their children will not do like demons who love this present world? No, but it is important to recognize the truth the verse contains. It was God has given us an incredible responsibility by placing children in our care. The godly family is a primary mechanism God used to further the gospel, the grace of God, and grow the body of Christ. As a result, it is our duty to teach our children about God. We are in an influential position, and what we do today will matter in our kids' lives tomorrow. Our children and grandchildren are born, let me say this, in a messy world, and it's really undeniable. If you got children or grandchildren, you've seen our children or grandchildren. It's undeniable that they're born messy themselves, right? We don't bring perfect children into a messy world. we bring messy children into this messy, sinful world. Our kids are not born in a state of neutrality. They are born in a state of rebellion. They are born as sinful. They desire from the earliest days, they desire worldly things. And so one of these things we have to do as parents, and one of the challenges of Christian parents is to help our children see worldliness for what it is. We want to help them desire what's honoring to God instead of what's dishonoring to God. Every society, my brothers and sisters, they're going to face problems of elder abuse. In time, a son always becomes stronger than his father, and can push them around even to the point of violence and blows. Likewise, a son or daughter can sometimes appropriate his mother's house and property, perhaps for abusing or trusting mother's grant of power of authority to. In the words of the proverb, chase her away. How can a father or mother hold their heads up when their own children treat them that way? He brings shame, literally a bad odor on his parents. And he also brings a reproach. And if we don't understand God's word and what Paul is talking about, whether fairly or unfairly, people gossip about such ill-treated parents, saying, that's what happens when you don't train your children properly. Let me say this right now to all those parents who have come to the end of their rope with their children, who are disobedient, disrespectful. God sees, and he cares. Why did God give a command to honor our parents? Let me say this, and that is when we don't walk in the spirit, we are walking in the flesh. And disobedience and disrespect comes from the flesh. And Paul told us, nothing good dwells in the flesh. Now, we can't forget the Adamic nature. Paul tells us what kind of spiritually seeded nature and unregenerate mankind now possesses apart from the Lord in these verses, Ephesians 2, 1 through 3. And you has he quickened, he made alive who were dead in trespass and sin, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince, the power, the air, the spirit that now working in the children of disobedience, among whom we all had our conversations and manner of living. In time past, to the lust of our flesh, fulfilling desires of the flesh and of the mind, and whereby nature, the children of wrath, even as a man is born into this world, possessing the spirit that now worketh in the children of the disobedience, making them the children of wrath. John calls it the spirit of error versus the spirit of truth in 1 John 4:6. The sin spirit that works in the children of disobedience works from his residence, our human flesh body, but it has reached into man's soul and poisoned it also, making it the mind of the flesh. This is so much that even man's soul has become what the Bible calls flesh, having the mind and also desire of the flesh, Ephesians 2:3. Among whom we also had our conversation in time past in the lust of our what? Flesh. Fulfilling desires of the flesh and of the mind, and whereby nature, the children of wrath, the old nature, my brothers and sisters, the old nature in the believer is that which is begotten of the flesh. It is called the flesh, Romans 8:1, the old man, Romans 6:6, Ephesians 4:22, the natural man, 1 Corinthians 2:14, the carnal mind, Romans 8:7. Just as they are all in the flesh, cannot please God, the works which are of the flesh in the believer cannot please God. The flesh includes the mind of the flesh, which is at enmity with God. The flesh, as we have already seen, is totally depraved at its core. God, through Paul, calls it its sinful flesh. My brothers and sisters, we must understand. Well, brother, you have been called, Paul said, unto liberty, freedom. Only use not liberty for occasion, opportunity to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Galatians 5:13. The old nature in the believer is the one which will never improve, even in light of the new Christ nature in believers. Paul plainly declares that in me, this is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Romans 7:18. Paul says that as a believer still inherited carnal, sold under sin. Romans 7:14. Elsewhere, Paul declared that the old sin nature is corrupt according to the deceitful lying lust, Ephesians 4:2. My brothers and sisters, which is at enmity against God and not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Romans 8:7-8. The nature of the flesh remains in the believer after salvation. It is the fallen nature of Adam that was generated by an evil begetter, the serpent, the devil. Thankfully, the old man of the flesh was judged and condemned at the cross. Our old man was crucified with the Lord. Know ye not that so many of us were baptized, Jesus Christ were baptized into his death, Romans 6:3. I, as to my old man, am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. My brothers and sisters, in this day and time, in these perilous times, my brothers and sisters, we have to get in the book. We have to get doctrine on the inside of us. My brothers and sisters, if you don't get doctrine on the inside, I can tell you right now, you're going to walk around functionally dead. You're going to be clueless as to what God is doing. You're going to be clueless as to what God's will is. And you can be easily overtaken by those false teachers, those who are on television, those who are confusing, those who are just following the tradition of man. You will be easily overtaken, my brothers and sisters. We have to get in the book. It is important, my brothers and sisters, to walk in the Spirit. And if we walk in the Spirit, we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And we're going to pick up our lesson next week. Amen. Let us pray. Father, heaven, we thank you for your word. We pray that those who listen in, we pray that they were encouraged, they were enlightened. And Lord, we pray that those who have gone away from studying your word, we pray that they have a desire to want to get into your word and study your word. We thank you for this message tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.